All lines are now bridged.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the HITECH Annual Report Work Group meeting. We have Carolyn Peterson, and I believe Erin Mary will be joining us shortly. I'm also joined by our other work group members, Christina Caraballo and Brett Oliver. We are nearing the finish line for our fiscal year 19 annual report, so looking to hopefully wrap that up in the next call or so. And with that, I will turn it over to our co-chair, Carolyn Peterson, to get us started.
Thanks, Lauren. Good morning, everyone. As Lauren mentioned, we are in the home stretch. Hopefully this will be the last significant meeting we have where we have things to discuss and changes to look at for the annual report. We have 90 minutes blocked for this time, but I think Erin and I had the intention of going through it as efficiently as possible, so perhaps we can give some of that back to you. If we could have the next slide, please. And here's our agenda. We'll again review our meeting schedules, get right into the comments to be discussed, have a public comment period, and then acknowledge our next steps and adjourn. The next slide, please. So here's the meeting schedule that I think we're all pretty familiar with by now. We have today's meeting and nothing scheduled beyond that, pending the outcome at the presentation of the report at next week's full HITECH meeting. Next slide, please. And then here is an acknowledgement of the date, February 19, on the virtual call. Next slide, please. So now we'll head into the discussion of the comments we've received from HITECH members and make whatever revisions we think are necessary for the annual report that we will present and hopefully get approval of at next week's HITECH meeting. Next slide, please. So we've gone through, Erin and I have gone through all the comments that were received along with the ONC ASL report preparation team, and where there were changes, suggestions for things like typos or correcting the name of the proper name of something. We've gone ahead and just made those. They are noted in the large table of comments and how those were handled that you received prior to the meeting. We didn't anticipate a need to discuss those things today. What we have on the slides are a number of things that we felt would be best addressed by a discussion of the working group, and our goal is to try to work through all these slides today and be able to get those changes made in the next day or so, so that the revised draft can go out to the HITECH members hopefully Friday, and that we can get a resolution on that next Wednesday. I know in the past we've sometimes gone through several slides and then started back through them individually, but we were thinking it might be easiest for us if we just started with a slide and dealt with what's on it and just kept working straight through to minimize the back and forth. So if you'll open your list of member comments that we received from HITECH, this first issue has to do with making some changes to where we placed potential actions in the tiering system. You'll recall we had the immediate tier and then the longer term kind of tier. We did get some feedback from some members that some of those should be placed in a different tier, and that's what we'll review right now. So for the opportunity related to improve patient matching, there was a thought we should move this opportunity from the longer term to the immediate, because ONC has to submit a report to Congress about patient ID methods in 2020. So it seemed that it would be a good opportunity for HITECH to have some role in that. Are there any thoughts about that movement?
This is Erin. I think the tiering makes sense. I think that there was some clarity I believe we could probably give to HITECH to show how we put things into what tier, but other than that, most people I thought found it pretty interesting and understandable.
Yeah, I would agree, Brett? That this is a good edit.
Yeah, I was just going to agree as well.
Okay. And then in a similar vein, for the opportunity increased transparency of EHR-related adverse patient safety events, move that from the longer term to the immediate, because the HITECH has included discussion of the EHR reporting program in the 2020 plan. Any concerns about making this shift?
None for me. This makes sense. I think we should.
Brett or Christina?
Yeah, I don't mind making the shift. It just seems, it's kind of, the opportunity seems vague to me. Unlike the opportunity for patient matching, that's a specific opportunity. What do we mean by increased transparency of EHR-related or safety events?
Well, if I remember right, Brett, it was about trying to start getting visibility on some of the issues there, like around UDI and other things, to start connecting the dots for folks as to how to move these things forward. That's what I recall the conversation was about, and how we can leverage, you know, the information blocking final rules. Again, we don't know what it says, but potentially to help, you know, get more data out of the system to say, what can we do to make it better for patient safety? That's at least what I recall.
And I think it would build some support for going down that road if there is some work potentially that HITECH could do related to the info blocking rule. I don't think it means absolutely we're going to approach this topic to in terms of what we know today about the work plan, but it certainly would signal that we recognize the synergy and potentially could be involved.
Yeah, I think it probably is more of a sooner rather than later. Because really the only way you've got to do that now is through like a patient safety organization, a PSO, right? I mean, because when you're talking about safety events, there's that hesitation to share anything because you're going to become liable. So, yeah, I agree. I agree with what y'all are saying.
Okay. Then I think we're good with making both these changes. Let's go to the next slide. So this is, again, more changes to the tiers in the SDOH topic. We have the longer-term opportunity and interoperability about developing and adapting standards for SDOH data activities, and also an immediate opportunity in the privacy and security target area to facilitate more exchange of SDOH data between providers and community service organizations, and also raising patient awareness about consent. The comment was to better align the timeframes for these two things that have to do with SDOH data, and the potential action would be to shift the first opportunity to the immediate tier as well. Michelle, did you
have
any thoughts about the way that aligns in the report? I know when I looked at it, it seemed like there was maybe something else driving it that we needed to be sure was aligned.
Yeah, it was just that one that we had that had a gap and then three opportunities and three recommendations. We ended up having to split apart, and separately, you'll get to it later, that meant pulling consent out separately, which was easy to do in the report. The Audacious Inquiry team helped us look at that. So it didn't really affect the report deeply. It just meant visually splitting apart into two gaps and opportunities, or three opportunities still, but two gaps. So SDOH is still linked in that section to PGHD, patient-generated health data. So we'll have to, when we get to that, see if we still agree with that. But that was the main shift that occurred because of this comment and also the comment about consent.
I guess I agree. I do go back to, there's obviously a major concern when it comes to what consent is and how that's done, and that's a whole other track, right, for us to really look at in terms of consent. But in terms of alignment of timelines, that makes sense for me. So this change does make sense. But I do think this is a very deep subject, and so I look at this and I'm like, are we doing it justice with this? But I understand the point of it because it's around privacy and security, priority target area. But this is a giant thing in itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brett, what do you think? Do you think this is important, like to this level of granularity and timing for SDOH as a provider?
I might be a little contrary to the popular belief amongst the committee, not to mention this work group. There are so many other things that I would rather get right now to move the needle from a patient care standpoint. I understand there's all this excitement about social determinants of health. I know if you live in a different zip code that you do better. I don't know what I do about that. And I get there's some food bank data out there, but the data seems kind of sparse. It seems like the enthusiasm has exceeded reality right now. Now, maybe that's because we don't have the data, and maybe that's what we're here to talk about. But I will go along with this work group, the consensus, and support it. I would typically be more on the longer-term opportunity for both of these things, but I wasn't gonna buck what you guys want as far as the consensus goes.
You know, I'll say, you know, being in the thick of it, as, you know, I have the data warehouse team here at the University of Texas, and we're doing a lot with SDOH. Just getting access to the data is half the battle, right? Getting access to, you know, figure out where there are food deserts or, you know, what the climate weather is and all this other stuff. I'll tell you, getting that, normalizing that, making it part of the calculus per se to be able to draw out inferences and other dynamics, it's hard just to get a hold of the data, much less do anything with it. So I think your comment as to does this open up the water taps per se to allow us to begin to actually leverage SDOH, that's how I'm looking at this and saying, okay, if we take these considerations into play and we move it up immediate, then we can, once the data is there, then we can actually start doing value-based care the way we're supposed to be doing it, because now we have the data to be able to make meaningful choices and decisions. So that's how I'm reading this.
Yeah, I'm following you, and I think that would bridge my current gap with what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll just add one point. Sorry, I just want to get to a technical point. I think the high-tech member pointing this out was wondering why standards came after exchange. So they were just kind of saying, like, either put them together or sequence them differently. So that was the kind of comment that was coming forward from the high-tech. Not really which tier it should be in, so that is up to you guys to recommend that part. But this is why they were trying to get them aligned together.
Right. And so I took that in terms, Michelle, in terms of urgency, that don't lollygag on sharing the data. Do both, right, and do it immediate. And so I said, okay, I could buy that if it's because I want to start doing more meaningful stuff down the road, right? So that's I get why the comment was made, but I'm taking it one step further going, okay, if we do that, then the promise should be we can now do stuff with SDOH in future reports or future activities that we couldn't do before, assuming we're able to accomplish that goal. Christina, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was just going to kind of take what Brett said into consideration and agree with you, Aaron, on the fact that this is kind of setting the framework. So we're talking about facilitating exchange in that kind of our target area that we've defined here. And I think that, you know, we're not pushing it completely, but considering all the excitement around social determinants of health and the fact that there's so much acceleration in the standards work to support social determinants of health, I think focus on the privacy and security aspects kind of in tandem is really important. And I do think this is pushed up to a tier one, and that doesn't mean that we're going to make all providers start incorporating social determinants of health. To me, it's saying let's lay a foundation and start thinking about what that looks like from an IT perspective so that organizations like yours, Aaron, that are kind of already pushing forward can better inform those that will kind of come next.
And it's not just the IT perspective. I think it's also the workflow perspective, because providers are going to need to see that it's relevant and how it actually fits in to what they do, and that it's not just another requirement to mess with or something else to document in the EHR, but also to get a sense of how they can be meaningfully used, and not in the the sort of meaningful use kind of way, but how they can be effectively implemented so that they actually make a difference in the care and the outcomes. I think people are really on board with doing different things or harder things when they see that there's value in it. We need to start thinking about how to demonstrate the value.
Yeah, and I'm coming from a provider's perspective and CMIO perspective, so it's very helpful to hear you guys and from other views. Because it may not involve the provider at all, and where the benefit may come from. But to Carolyn's point, if you can show me that there's value, we've been asked to do so many what end up being silly, time-wasting things from the government and other people that unless you start showing me the value behind it, you're going to struggle. Here's a for instance. So I may have mentioned this before, but Medicaid in the state of Kentucky for telehealth services wanted us to add an ambulance code modifier so they could find out where the service originated from and where it was being given from. And we've never utilized that. They didn't. But it was going to be on the backs of the providers to put this code in, learn this code, and provide it. And they didn't know what they were going to do with it. They just thought it was interesting information, and it's probably something we're going to want to know. So when you hear stories of that, I guess I get a little prickly with, oh, here's something else that we're going to do, and everybody's all excited about it, and 5 years from now, we're not doing this anymore. It's on to the next thing, yet we just continue to have this burden added to the end user. So that's just a little, probably more than y'all wanted, a little background about why this whole social determinants of health has not fallen on rich ears on my end at this point.
And absolutely, that is very valid in light of ONC's efforts to reduce provider burden. I mean, I think that's a very appropriate point, and we need to keep that in mind so we're dovetailing with that initiative as well as just the general desire to address the SDOH thing.
Well, thank you for indulging me. I'll get off my soapbox.
No. It's important feedback. It's good to have. So are we feeling like we can make an action or a decision on this?
Yeah, I'm good with it, Zarin. I think we go. We're good. I'm good.
Okay. Let's move on to the next slide then, Michelle. You want to lead this one, Aaron?
Sure. So this one, the topic is restricting the scope of data shared with third parties. The new gap that was there was limited support for restricting scope of data shared with third parties via FHIR. The new opportunity was increased capacity to reasonably restrict the scope of data via FHIR. The new recommended activity, HITECH activity, was to convene a HITECH work group to review and provide recommendations on how federal agencies and standards development orgs could improve and maybe offer reasonable restrictions are placed on scope of data shared via FHIR. Potential actions may include clarifying in the ONC certification criteria that enabling restrictions are allowed and encouraged, and updating underlying standards to support such reasonable restrictions in a standard manner. If I remember right, this was hand in hand with people being patients, being able to restrict sensitive data and working through how we could allow people to have that granular choice of what to share and what not to share. Is that right?
That's what I remember. Was that Ken's?
Yeah, I think so. I'm stretching my memory here.
I think so, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. If that's the case for me, that absolutely makes sense, but this is a huge ask because to my knowledge, there's not a normal, like, known method for doing that. Like, discrete elements within, you know, an HL7 feed, in this case, FHIR standard, how do you exclude certain fields or notate them or whatever? I don't know. Besides mainly concatenating a string, which is what that is, I don't know how to do that. So, I mean, this is like a big thing for like either USCDI or something else.
Do we support convening that work group or adding it to CDI? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question. But I want folks to understand that this is not like an easy work group to figure out. I mean, we're going to have to really dig into it, and it'll be a lot of really chopping up to understand how it's important. I think it's personally important, but I just want us to understand this is not an easy one.
Is it something that we could put in as a longer-term opportunity so that it surfaces and we don't forget about it, but we also recognize it's not something that we can just start on in May or June or something?
I think it's, to me, it's smart. Christina, I'm curious your take, being that you co-chaired some of those technical committees, standards committees.
When I read this, my initial reaction was, this makes a lot of sense, and I was going to support it. I thought when Ken brought it up during our HITECH meeting, it was a really excellent point, and I think the full committee was really receptive to it. When I think about some of our work group work, I mean, my point of view is that we take on some of the bigger challenges and start to identify what we need to do. It doesn't mean that we are necessarily coming up with every single solution, but we're starting the conversation. So I do think this is an important one, but I also recognize that it's a lot of work. So I'm a little divided. When I think long term, I think we're tabling that. When I think immediate, it's like we're getting started. So, I mean, I think about USCDI, that was phased, and this could be something where ONC looks at it, and if they agree that this is important for the HITECH to take on, then they can come up with kind of different charges to get us started. But
that's fair. That's fair.
Take it off.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So you're saying let's get started to assess what the work is, and then based upon that, we can then chop it up into appropriate chunks and divvy it out to the right subgroups to go get that done, and then figure out also what a reasonable length of time is. Because I guess I'm just, I want to be cautious, because look at, like, TEFCA, right? We've been talking now about TEFCA for 2 years, but we had to extend it because there was some great feedback from the public we wanted to take into account, we wanted to assess, reconvene, right? And in the beginning, we were all hopeful that we could just charge through it and get it done. Well, that was a whole lot, right, to really think about and really work through. And I look at this one, and I'm like, I can see this being the same thing. Not that we don't do it now, but I just want to set the expectation for folks, especially the public, that it's going to take us some time to go through this. So I'm supportive. I just want to be, everybody have eyes wide open. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I think that it's good to put it out there so that there is awareness of it, and it doesn't wind up being something that lives in the parking lot on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
Because that's another hazard. You know, you hear about something, you think, oh, that's great, we're not quite ready, let's put it in the parking lot for next year. And then when next year rolls around, there are five other things that have suddenly become shinier and more important, and the parking lot becomes, you know, the permanent refugee camp instead of the parking lot.
Fair point. No, fair point. And that's the last thing we want, any of us want. We don't want inaction on anything. You're exactly right. I just did want people thinking this is something really simple. Just do it, right? It's every day I hear it, oh, it's just IT, Aaron. How hard can that be? Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So do we take this conversation that we will add this? Then is that our feedback to the team?
I'm supportive.
I am as well.
Okay. Let's move on to the next slide. Suggested addition in the topic of price transparency in the landscape analysis under the federal activities, the suggestion is to update the price transparency subsection to reflect CMS rulemaking, and in the interoperability priority target area section to add miscellaneous mentions of financial information. In the gap analysis under the access to patient data remains highly fragmented from the patient perspective, adding some text about integration of clinical and financial data in the description of the gap. The opportunity would be changing the language of that opportunity from to clinical information that's less dependent on providers and then also noting clinical information in the recommended high-tech activity. Michelle, can you tell us the page that we would find the more information about these suggested changes in our Word docs?
Yeah, they're across multiple pages, so it's not that simple, unfortunately, but is there a particular one you want to focus on?
Oh, I was hoping we could just easily start at the top, but if we can't, just thinking it's a little easier to talk about it if we can look at it.
I agree.
Or to find it.
I'm looking myself. So page 19 in the current draft is where we added in the federal activities more information. And she was correct, the comment there, that since the draft that we had started in December, there had been updates to the final rule for CMS. So it was correct to update that. So we made some accurate updates based on their suggestion and added some footnotes or endnotes, actually. So that's on page 19.
Good. That sounds like the right thing to do, being that that was accurate.
Yeah. And I think the discussion that you and I had was there are a few places where we mentioned health information, and that's not clearly defined yet, kind of even industry-wide, and it may become more so after the rule is published, but right now it's hard to put a definition around that, so we decided to leave that phrase as is without being very specific about what it includes. But the assumption of this work group was that it includes price information as appropriate, but that may not always be the case. So I think the commenter was trying to get clarification around that, which we may or may not be able to offer at the moment. So I think there were moments or spots that you asked that we not add that comment. But then there are other places it seemed okay to say clinical and financial information, to be very specific.
Right.
So that was the gist of that.
Yeah, that was the situation where in some uses terms are defined and known and in some they're not. And also the recognition that there are all kinds of data. There's financial data, there's clinical notes, there's patient-generated data that people just collect and try to use, like tracker information. There's patient-reported outcomes that could be part of a clinical trial or daily care. And my thought was, if we start naming particular types of information, would we wind up with, you know, a list of 17 types of information? I think just in terms of readability of the report, if we can keep it very general, we do better than by naming individual types of data. But that's something I'm interested in getting feedback on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I kind of stopped on this slide because this is under price transparency. And Michelle, keep me honest on this, but the recommendation is to hold the listening sessions with experts on access, right? And then we have an additional, like an addition of the clinical information, but to me this seems like a larger recommendation that we had in general, updating the roadmap for patient access, which would include price transparency and other things. So I would kind of vote to take off the to clinical information, supporting Carolyn, what you just said. But I want to make sure that I'm reading this recommendation and where it belongs in the report correctly, since this is specifically under price transparency.
Yeah, that is an accurate read. I kind of went back and forth on it a few times myself, particularly as I got further into the report where there were more similar references of this type, you know, trying to be sure that I was framing it accurately in my mind. It seems to me that we want to try to keep things fairly broad and also to target the recommendations that we were not to make them so broad that they can refer to anything. It's like broad within its category, but then relatively targeted. So I'm fine with what you suggest, Christina, but interested to hear others' feedback.
So Christina, I'm trying to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You're saying strike the word clinical information and just leave it as to access to their data? Is that right?
Yeah, no, so I actually was thinking that we might want to add a different phrase. Because if we think about patient access, you know, we've got access through portals, but we know that we haven't completely solved the problem of, like, meaningful access, of a good user experience. So maybe we change the recommendation to something like, at the end, identify ideas for an updated roadmap for patient access that is a more streamlined experience for patients. I mean, I think that's what we were getting at originally with this recommendation.
Oh, I see. So that you don't, and okay, so we don't end up what happened when CMS had that voluntary, you know, post your charge master, and some people posted like a machine readable only format, and it's totally worthless to the patient. You want something that's functional as well as useful.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Okay, in that context, yes, because we don't want to in any which way inadvertently try to say that we don't think both are just as important, right? We want full transparency. I mean, people should have their data, regardless of financial or clinical. But to your point, you want to make sure that people can do something with it, that it means something to them, is meaningful. So that, I like that. That's a really nice way of articulating that, look, don't just be an engineer, be a human. Solve it like a human. Brett, feelings?
How does that, oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. I've done nothing to add. Thanks.
Cool.
So how do we want to apply that in terms of a text change or not change? Do you have a suggestion, Christine, or am I getting lost in the details and we have it on the table?
I can probably make a suggestion really quickly. I was also I wanted to incorporate the opportunity. I liked how in the opportunity we state that this is less dependent on providers and their EHR and the EHR developers, because our goal is to also reduce burden for providers. So when we think of consumer access, I would say as we convene these listening sessions, I'd make the update at the end to identify ideas for an updated roadmap for patient access that is a more streamlined experience for patients while reducing burden on providers. I think that incorporates the full opportunity. And it's not just saying providers make a great user experience, but how do we create it as an industry?
Does that sound good to you, Brett?
I got a little lost on the last part. Could we say it again?
Yeah. So just replace to clinical information with patient access that is a more streamlined experience for patients while reducing burden on providers. I don't know if we need all of that, but
I like it.
I think it's good to reinforce the goals that we've stated previously elsewhere in terms of reducing the provider burden and doing something that supports provider experience as well as patient experience. Is that what you needed, Michelle, or do you need more from us?
I think it's good. I think I'm a little stuck on the word streamlined, because that can be a very narrow thing. It could just be less data, and that might not be what we intend. So I'm wondering, I like the word meaningful, but it's so overused now that it doesn't have meaning anymore. Sorry?
Efficient?
Efficient? I mean, is that what we're trying to get at, is efficiency, or is it, I like the word useful also.
How about we play with it, Michelle? And I mean, we just get the intent out there, right? So everybody agrees on the intent, and we can wordsmith it you know, just to keep us on time.
Yeah, I just only have a day after this to turn around the final. So,
I started, I had put a couple, I hadn't gotten perfect words, but meaningful, like interactive, digestible information, maybe play with some of those words. Okay. I like useful, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough to work with for now, I think. Thank you.
Okay. So let's move on to the next. All right. Now the topic is consent, and we're looking at the existing gap, lack of control over sharing and disclosure of information. Common is that there are several concerns related to this, either for fiscal year 19, this report, or next year, to wit, reuse of data after release by patient without clarity around implications of sharing data. And that brings up the point, is it really consent if it's not clear? Regulations to control reuse, clarity around who has authority to consent to release, part of the issue of who has authority to consent to treatment. Of course, how are these different types of consent captured, shared, and enforced? And what happens if they are not? That's the enforcement piece. My sort of 35,000-foot look at this is that there's a lot here to unpack, and I honestly would prefer to move it forward to the 20 version, because then we could spend some time researching it and talking about it ourselves, and perhaps getting some time on a fall high-tech agenda to tease out people's thoughts about that more, so that we covered it well and it was truly a group recommendation and not just something that one person had brought up without the full committee thinking. But I'm interested to hear what others have to say.
Let me put out here that there's actually three slides that go together. So it's up to you if you want to tackle each one separately or together. But this is the one I mentioned earlier that we split out as a new gap to cover the existing opportunity and recommended activity, but also agreed that some could go towards the FY20 report, some of these questions. So up to you how you want to cover this right now. But there's three slides that go together.
Well, let's look at it all then at once, and hopefully we can deal with it as one discussion. So the next slide. For this is the existing gap about the lack of control over sharing and disclosure. The getting to the recommended activity, identify and suggest how consent should be captured under TEFCA. And the comments being further complexity arises from the intersection of consent for clinical, administrative, and research data, including for highly sensitive data, and also re-identification. Should there be a more uniform baseline process and standards for consent that allow the individual to opt in for further restrictions? And what would be the role for a high-tech task force in considering these concerns? And then if we go to the third slide, which again still gets at more consent, create a new gap for the topic with related existing opportunity and recommended activity, that the new gap would be the lack of clarity about the parameters of data sharing and disclosure and their implications for consent. An existing opportunity would be to improve the capabilities of health IT to electronically capture, store, and share consent information. And there's an existing recommended high-tech activity to identify and suggest how consent should be captured under TEFCA. So lots of things that are interconnected, brought out in different ways by different people, different comments. But we can perhaps do a better job by trying to do it more broadly. We can kick it to next year. We can note that this is an emerging concern in the text someplace and set us ourselves up for a discussion next year. And I'm open to any of those. I think we probably all see this as important. The question is how we best integrate it into the work product and set it up to have some activity next year.
I like it being set up for next year just simply because the final rules aren't out, and I'm sure that's going to change some perspective on this.
Right. I was actually about to say that, Brett. I mean, I'm actually curious about some of the interesting public opposition that's happening right now, and I want to actually better understand the arguments and the retorts and just understand the data behind it so that as we go into this, we're going into it eyes wide open and taking into account all public feedback, right, which includes those public hesitations on moving forward with the final rules.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Aaron. It's certainly a contentious issue right now. I don't think we would hurt ourselves or anybody else by setting this up for 2020.
I agree with that.
Now, to clarify, we're not saying either or. It's, you know, clarifying our current gap in activity and then also adding it to our list for 2020. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, so we would push all that to that 2021.
So take out the current gap and opportunity and recommended activity completely?
I like leaving it in there because I think it does help to keep us on target that's something on the table. We don't want to put it so far out in the parking lot that we forget it's there.
Right.
And it also does kind of signal that this is an ongoing topic of interest for readers of the report after it comes out, but perhaps before some of those things are addressed. Because even though we all keep hearing that we're just right around the corner for the final rules coming out, we don't actually know that.
Well, and once it's final, I'm sure there's going to be challenges in court, right? At least it's been stated publicly, so... Again, all that will be really helpful for us to look at and disseminate. All right. Any other feedback?
Does that get at your concern, Michelle?
Yeah, it sounds like you're comfortable with the proposal that's in blue at the top. We have two actions here. One is to add a new gap and split out the opportunity recommended activity with that, and then also add it to the list for next year.
Yep. Going once, going twice. Okay. Let's do that and move on to the next. Do you want to tee this one up, Aaron?
Sure. All right. So on the topic of consequences of re-identification, the gap, new technological capabilities to re-identify, de-identify data. Say that three times fast. The opportunity is to increase awareness of technological capabilities to re-identify, de-identify data. And then our recommended activity is to convene a listening session to assess the development of technologies that prevent re-identification and notify individuals when re-identification has occurred. The comment, should the focus of the activity be prevention or punishment? Interesting. To address comments, should above text be about informing affected individuals could be added to the activity? Okay. So this one was our discussion about, like, now, especially with machine learning, you can pretty much ascertain a whole lot about a de-identified data set. And the gaps that exist with current law and coverage about that, because obviously this wasn't contemplated in 96 or any time therefore. So, but then we didn't know, like, how far along is this type of technology? Is this, like, readily available? What's the real risk? So it was kind of like, okay, let's figure out, A, how bad is this? We just know it could be done, but how bad is it? And then B, you know, then further on, ongoing. So to me, it's about awareness and appropriate safeguards. I think punishment is an interesting word to use. But, I mean, I would say what's the recourse if safeguards are breached versus punishment? That's my take.
It's about enforcement, I think, rather than punishment. and consequences. Is that a financial penalty?
Right.
Is that some kind of being barred from the market for some period?
Right. Right, or is it additional regulatory powers need to be given to, say, I'm making this up, the FTC, so they can enforce this if a third-party app tries to do this when they gobble up data from my health system, right? And there was no proper permission to do that and consent from the patients, right? Like, what's that look like? I have a whole litany of questions on this. I just think we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
On this, we have, like Aaron, you just said, we don't know what we don't know, so our recommendation was to convene a listening session to better understand. But then this additional text is a specific recommendation should this happen. So while I think being transparent to patients is important and support that, it doesn't make sense in the recommendation to me. Like, I feel like that would come out of the recommendation, but
yeah, like you're right. Like we would hope a goal would be that now that we know how bad it is, we could tell patients if said technique or technology was used to re-identify your data. But how do we even know that's a thing?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think it's necessary.
I mean, I guess. Let's play devil's advocate. I don't want to lose the fact that we're all saying we do want to be transparent. We do want to be transparent. So is there a way to word this in a way that is like with a hopeful objective of being able to notify individuals when re-identification has occurred? I'm not a wordsmith, but I'm saying, like, you know, this is like an idealistic objective versus a hard recommendation for that part in blue. Is that worth doing, or should we strike it altogether?
I just think you could have probably 7 or 8 different statements.
Good point.
We just don't know yet.
Yeah,
we could include that one, but don't include something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Box ourselves in.
Can we put this in the parking lot and revisit it next year to determine if we have enough information to say something about it that we actually contribute to the conversation?
I'm going to
leave the recommendation, but take the highlight.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we could spend a lot of time wordsmithing, and it might all be for nothing anyway, which isn't necessarily helpful, given that it just increases the length of the report without saying more.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I mean, again, I just don't want us to lose the intent. We are trying to be transparent. We are absolutely, you know, 100% on board with that. It's just we don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. I know this technology is floating out there, sort of academia, but I haven't seen it mainstream.
Yeah, so I'm fine if we want to move on. We could consider an easy fix of moving that text into the opportunity. So just adding there's an opportunity to better understand how individuals will be notified, and then we could add to the recommendation something along the lines of, let me think, just something simple like, and consider how individuals will be made aware. Or we can move on. That's fine. Did I lose you guys?
I'm thinking, actually. I'm good either way. I think we're all saying the same thing, to be honest with you.
Okay, so do we want to retain the blue text in the bolded recommended high-tech activity, or do we just want to set that aside for now and look at it next year?
Yeah, put the blue aside for next year is what I would say.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Sounds good.
Yep, no issue.
Okay, let's head to the next slide. Ah, short one. This is in the other topic area, in the conclusion, a suggestion to finish this section by adding a few items from the HITECH 2020 plan. It doesn't strike me as controversial per se. I don't think that that would hurt the report either way. The question is, do we want to invest time in this? Do we have project team time? Or do we just want to tee it up with a one or two sentence intro and a bullet list of items that are in the 2020 plan?
If you look at page 46 of the draft, we went ahead and proposed some text. So we're kind of at that step already.
Okay.
Do you want me to read the sentence?
Sure.
Okay, let me see if I can start. I'll just read the whole, it's only like a five-line paragraph. The HITECH made significant progress. Sorry, let me pause. I have to increase my font size. Okay. The HITECH made significant progress in advancing interoperability, privacy and security, and patient access to information in FY19, semicolon. However, work remains in these priority target areas to achieve the full potential using health IT tools to help transform the healthcare sector. In FY20, ONC and the HITECH will continue to, and this is where it starts, the new text, will continue to focus on advancing the implementation of the health IT provisions of the Cures Act, including the EHR reporting program and the Trusted Exchange Framework and Common Agreement, as well as address emerging issues, including the intersection of clinical and administrative data standards. So those were a few items that are on the FY20 work plan as happening this year and starting, you're already underway in their planning, so that's where we pulled from.
Nothing controversial from me.
I'm good with it.
I'm good. Okay.
Next slide. Okay, so we have some suggested additions to the list of potential topics for fiscal year 2020. One topic would be price transparency, likely increased coverage of improving patient access to financial information, including showing any progress made by the HITECH while discussing the intersection of clinical and administrative data. At least one recommendation should be made for the patient access to information priority target area. Thoughts about that? Personally, I feel like I'm a bit uncomfortable saying that we have to make recommendations about anything. I think it's valuable to say this is an important topic that we might choose to make recommendations about depending on what happens during the year and what activity HITECH does. But I feel like there's just way too much flux to be saying we have to make recommendations about anything, given that we don't even know what the full work plan will turn out to be based upon.
Yeah, or what the final rules will be. I don't even know what the final rules say yet, but no one does.
Yeah, and if they're tied up in appeal, then that kicks everything down the road.
Can we put these in a future parking lot item? I mean, I think they're important, right? I mean, everybody wants price transparency. Everybody wants to be able to give patients everything they ask for. We just don't know what we don't know.
I'd be comfortable with the parking lot.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I like what you said, Caroline, about making specific recommendations or not, I suppose, being a little more general on that. But I agree with you guys, too. We need to wait on the rules.
We do.
And then there was a topic suggested for updates to the USDDI, consideration of additional data elements that may include images, care plans, and price and payment information. What do you have thoughts about that, Christina? I know you were involved in that work.
Christina, I've been here, but we've got, that was the whole point of the task force, is to develop the process to get additional data elements. I didn't understand this consideration, why we would add it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I kind of got stuck.
Yeah, to me, Christina, if I remember right, yeah, you have a whole process, Christina, that was proposed to add additional elements and the timing to do so and the, like, escalation matrix.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good work that was done that was readily, like, applauded. So why wouldn't this just follow that?
Yeah, I don't see where this adds value anywhere. I don't know where it would fit. And there already is, in our recommendations, an annual review of the kind of on-queued data elements from the HITACH. So I think we can just X this one.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then the third item on the slide, recommended HITACH activities for patient access to information, priority target area. Add more activities for increased balance across the priority target areas. I guess personally, on the one hand, I appreciate that it's a value that we should be thinking about all of the priority target areas. But given that a lot of our work is driven by legislation and SDRM and other things, I feel like it's hard to say we should have the same amount of stuff going on in every area. In some cases, everything would be driven by external events, and we wouldn't be able to do anything ourselves that we thought was important. And in other areas, you'd be struggling to find something to do that maybe wasn't very important. So you could say we have parity among the amount of activity.
I would agree with that, and I think in our process, we go through things, we go through the sections, but they kind of come up to the top based on need and things that are important, not filling certain, like, bubbles under each.
And I would also go back to what we've been saying. We don't know, again, what the rules will, what kind of activities will bubble up because of the final rules, right? There may be a priority matrix based upon that alone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brett, you were saying something?
No, I just think, was just going to say, in general, just because you have more activities doesn't mean there's less balance. That makes sense? I mean, you could have one activity that takes up 80% of your time. So I just didn't understand the concept of getting right here.
More labs, Brett. Do more labs. More CBC.
More labs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a call for remembering that all the priority areas matter, but I don't know that that's really a problem that we've had. So I'm fine with bypassing this one as well.
Okay.
All right, let's hit the next slide. This is, again, still in the potential topics for fiscal year 20. New topic is metadata, new GAAP standards for metadata, new opportunity, establish common nomenclature and use, and a new recommended HITACH activity, convene a HITACH work group to review and provide recommendations regarding metadata standards and potential additions to USDDI. Okay, I see we are all really engaged in talking about metadata. Okay. I think it's potentially an area that we might want to do something with in 2020, but I'm, being that it's not something that's had significant discussion in high-tech meetings, I'm feeling more like it's a parking lot thing than something that we give equal visibility to in the report itself. But I'm open if you guys are supportive of elevating this one.
Yeah, I am. I think this is like the other one. This needs to go through that process that Christina mentioned, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I would agree. Prove that process doesn't work, and there's a reason for a different approach.
Right.
Do we want to leave this one out of the report then, or drop it in the parking lot?
I think eliminate. I think this is going to come out in that process. I don't know why we need to recommend this. Like this, I thought this is like part of the whole USCDI proposing new standards, that whole thing. I mean, this will come out in that, and at least in my mind, unless I'm misunderstanding.
Nope, I'm fine with leaving it out of the report. I just don't want to jump in and say let's do this, unless, you know, if someone else has a reason to keep it in somewhere. Okay, it's out. Metadata goes.
Kellen, are you saying it's out completely? It's not on the next year's list either?
I don't think it hurts to put it on next year's list, but
okay.
I wouldn't put many pages of next year's list.
Okay. Yeah, I would just capture it quickly as list. I know I'm hesitant to say anything on this one because I'm just not sure. I would agree with what everybody said, but I think just capturing it in the report so that we can potentially bring it up for next year as an identified area to kind of take through the process is a good idea. I know in our USCDI calls, metadata came up multiple times, but I don't feel versed enough to kind of have an opinion on escalating it. So I think capturing it for further discussion is a good idea. Supporting Carolyn and Mary.
I'm good with that. Let's move on to the next slide. You want to take this one, Aaron?
Sure. So topic is synthetic data. That's such a fun buzzword. That'll be the new buzzword for next year. Watch. All right, UGAF. Use of synthetic data raises concerns. Comment. There are several concerns to consider. One, synthetic data is a data set that's derived from real data and statistically identical to real data, but completely a new data set that does not relate to any actual humans. What security and privacy considerations are driven by the emergence of synthetic data? And would this fall under HIPAA? And to what extent is this the validity of claims for the benefits of this type of data have been tested and validated? Is there another? No, this is the only slide on this one. Again, being a large academic medical center, I see all kinds of data. I see all kinds of synthetic data that's created for test purposes. To be quite honest, I'm not certain why this is, we're going to call this out in this report. I think it's an important topic, but I don't know why this is any different than any of the other security or privacy items or any other kinds of data, be it FERPA, be it whatever. Like, why is this any different? Anybody else?
I don't think there's any difference as well, Aaron. I think we could end up parsing out dozens of these. Just call
it
different. Yeah, I feel like I'm not close enough to it to be able to say this is really important or not. But I'm fine with the notion that we can't call out everything specially, and to just leave this as the report where it was without this.
You know, if anything, if the high tech feels strongly about this, we could just commentary, Carolyn, something to consider. We could always ask for one of those updated FAQs about data types from the ONC, because the ONC does those little briefs, you know, that like they collaborate with OCR. to answer the question, does HIPAA cover synthetic data, right? Wouldn't that answer that?
Yep, that's an opportunity.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying it's not an important topic, but I mean, if it's felt strongly that, hey, we need to at least address it, okay, well, here's a brief on does HIPAA cover it or not, and have the OCR just weigh in.
Yeah. And it might be something that would be considered a relevant activity by the agencies anyway, given that there's more buzz around synthetic data these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, parking lot?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense.
Okay. Oh, let's go on to the next slide. Next up. So the changes that we've discussed today will be implemented into the current draft of the report, and that will be sent out for the HITECH members to review ahead of next Wednesday's meeting. And we will present this revised draft and entertain whatever discussion there may be. Hopefully we can, it will be brought forth for a vote of approval. And then, you know, from that point, you ready the document and it goes to the national coordinator who can send it on to Congress. Potentially there might be other changes discussed, and then we would go from there depending on what those might be and whether those are deemed to be something we can put in the parking lot at the meeting, or if it looks like we will need to do more activity on it. But hopefully we're just about at the end of this. You know, we've had several presentations to the HITECH and a number of our own meetings where we had public discussion about these things, and have captured all of the comments from HITECH members in the document that you received for this meeting, so you can see that everything has been addressed in one way or another. And I think we're pretty much good. Does anyone else have any questions or thoughts about other things we might need to do, or comments or concerns?
I don't. I think this has been great. I mean, this is at least, you know, we built upon last year's work for this one. And, I mean, credit to Michelle and to the entire team there. I mean, this was a lot easier this year. I say easier, with air quotes. At least it was a framework we could follow.
I agree. So if our work group doesn't have any further comments or thoughts, are we able to go to public comment now, Cassandra?
Sure, no problem. Operator, can you open the line?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment to poll for comments.
Thank you. Are there any comments in the queue yet?
There are no comments in the queue at this time.
Okay, Carolyn?
Why don't we leave the slide up on the screen in case somebody is trying to dial in and having a little trouble? And
sure.
I'll poll the work group members one more time if we have any other thoughts or items to discuss or comments we want to make while we're waiting.
I would say this is an observation of last year to this year. I really appreciated how much diligence we paid to making sure that every comment we got from the HITECH, every comment we got from the public was documented, was noted, was discussed, was put in a parking lot or added or whatever we did with it. I think that was really well done. And so, you know, a lot of credit to Michelle, to you, Carolyn, and that whole team working that to make sure that, you know, and then you verified. You then sent out the whole list of whatever we had to everybody, the whole HITECH. Did we miss anybody, right? So it was like we captured it, we documented it, and we validated it again. so that everybody feels heard. I think that's so important because this is a culmination of public work.
Thanks, Darren. I mean, I think, yeah, just speaking for Robert Waugh, as well as myself as the HITAC co-chair, you know, we really wanted to have a very transparent process where everyone felt like whatever the outcome was, they were listened to and heard and really had a chance to bring forth their concern or their consideration. I felt like this year I was much more confident that we really captured everything. I think last year we tried really hard, but as the first year, you always wonder if maybe there's something you've missed that you don't know you've missed. But this year we really had the tracking down and were able to keep tabs on everything and be sure it was all involved and included. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just chiming in and say thank you to Carolyn, Aaron, and Michelle. It was really easy as a work group member to follow along and kind of be prepared ahead of discussions this time. I think we were extremely organized. We learned a lot in the first year, and the second year, I think, was just really well run. So thank you all. It made it easier to engage and participate. And I think we've got a pretty good report. So kudos.
Yep, I would agree as well. I love the fact that it's a smaller group, too. We don't have electronic hand raising, et cetera. It's more of a dialogue, and I think that really helps contribute to a better endpoint. But Michelle's framework and teeing it up has just been fabulous.
I agree. Michelle really has been really helpful and great to work with in terms of being able to get the product to you and have meetings with a clear purpose and goals. With
well,
that,
thank you, everybody. I just want to interrupt. Thanks to everybody else. Thank you.
There are no comments in the queue, Carolyn.
Okay. I think then, unless any of the members have anything else to bring up, we can take back 14 minutes.
Groovy. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you
soon.